This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. Equities tumbled on reports that the US Treasury Department will propose limits on Chinese technology investments, further straining already tense relations between the two economic giants. On the line is Vasu Menon, Vice President and Senior Investment Strategist with OCBC Bank in Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Vasu. We are in the last week of the first half of the year. What do you think is in store for markets as we move into the second half of the year?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be even more volatility. The ride is going to be even more bumpy. It was a very bumpy first half. It might get bumpier in the second half for a few reasons. Number one, the trade spat between the U.S. and China and the U.S. and Europe and perhaps the U.S. and other countries in the world could escalate. And that could create concerns about economic growth and therefore translate to even more volatility. I think secondly, central banks, especially the Federal Reserve, is likely to increase interest rates further, tighten its balance sheet further, signal more monetary tightening. Inflation could pick up and, you know, that could also egg on the central banks to tighten monetary policy further. And, you know, stock markets, bond markets have done very well in the last few years because of loose monetary policy. So as monetary policy tightens, there will be headwinds and, you know, more volatility. And the third factor and final factor is probably China. The Chinese economy is slowing down after very strong growth in 2017 in the first quarter of this year. And that slowdown will reverberate, you know, for the rest of Asia, to the rest of Asia and also create volatility. So the way I see it, in the run-up to the U.S. midterm elections in November, there's going to be quite a lot of action, fireworks in the markets, and I think investors have to be ready for a bit of a roller coaster ride.
Vasu, are there any positives? I mean, you gave us a list of some dark clouds on the horizon and headwinds, but yeah, any positives?
You know, the positive is that at least for now, economic growth, earnings growth are pretty decent, pretty strong. Global economic growth, aside from China, I think is holding up fairly well. If you look at analysts, they've upgraded the earnings forecast. Earnings growth is pretty strong. But that's now. I mean, depends on how things play out on the trade front. If trade tensions escalate, then it clearly is going to, you know, weigh on the global economy and global corporate earnings. So I think if the economies and earnings hold out, then if there's a sharp pullback in the markets, 10%, 15%, maybe even 20%, that presents a very good investment opportunity for investors. So I think, you know, this volatility, this drawdown to the market could present opportunities for investors with a good risk appetite, a medium-term horizon, provided, I think, the economies and earnings hold up and we don't see a serious escalation of the trade spat. I think it's very important that doesn't happen.
Yeah, so Vasu, given this bumpier ride that's expected for the rest of 2018, now what kind of opportunities, you know, flesh it out for us, what are those opportunities that you're looking at in the short to midterm?
Well, you know, it's hard to find too many opportunities in the short to midterm, to be very frank with you. On the currency market, you've seen the Japanese yen do fairly well against the US dollar. In fact, it's one of the very few currencies in the world which has actually appreciated against the US dollar. So I think, you know, the Japanese yen is something to focus on. The Swiss franc as well, you know, both the Japanese yen and Swiss franc are seen as safe haven currencies. Gold, unfortunately, has not done well. It's sometimes seen as a safe haven, but it's not done well. I think the bond markets have actually done better than the stock markets, you know, in the first half of this year. And I think short duration bonds to the tenor of maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, short duration bonds, good quality bonds, could actually, you know, hold up better in this sort of environment. I think you essentially want to maybe stay away from areas which are exposed to the trade war, focus more on domestic companies. So I think, you know, domestic plays could actually do better than, you know, companies with an international footprint. So if you pick Wall Street, for example, the Russell 2000 index, which focuses on domestic companies, smaller cap companies in the U.S., has actually done better than S&P and Dow. So there are selective opportunities, but as I said, you know, if there's a trade war, it turns ugly. I think the good, the bad, the ugly, they're all going to come down. It's a matter of just how much between each category. But, you know, I think those areas I highlighted could provide some safety.
Vasu, you said, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. So share with us your short to midterm investment strategy, you know, for this roller coaster ride. Earlier, you were talking about that. Are you buying on opportunities or staying back and watching it out first?
Well, you know, I think a few things, a few strategies. Number one, you know, you keep a close eye on the markets. If you're sitting on investments with which have, you know, yielded you pretty good returns, good profits, take some of those profits off the table. Lock in those profits. I think that's important, you know. Do not be greedy. This is a market where you can't afford to be greedy. I think, you know, secondly, as I highlighted, you know, there are opportunities. The bond market, if you want to seek shelter given this volatility, at least in the short term, medium term, bonds, good quality bonds, but short duration bonds, because the longer duration bonds are more sensitive to interest rate increases. Yes, I think if there's a big drawdown in the market, it can present opportunities. And, you know, that's something we're keeping a close eye on. I think it's still early days, may not be a good idea to go in and bottom fish in a big way. But I think if you've got spare cash, it's okay to put some money to work on further drawdown. But I think it's important to phase your investments into the market, not try and time the market and throw all of it into the market. Over the next 6 to 9 months, you know, phase your investments in. When you see sharp pullbacks, put some money in, but also keep some dry powder because, you know, I think the next 6 to 9 months is going to be quite action-packed.
Well, China's central bank recently announced that it will cut the amount of cash some lenders must hold as reserves. So, I mean, this is expected to unlock about, what, 700 billion yuan? About over 100 US billion dollars of liquidity. So how do you think this will impact markets in the mid to long term?
Well, it'll provide, you know, the Chinese economy, perhaps Asian markets, with some degree of cushion. Some degree of cushion. This reflects, in my view, a significant shift in Chinese monetary policy. I think China recognizes the fact that the economy is slowing down. The first quarter economic growth in China was pretty strong, exceeded market expectations actually with 6.8% growth. But since then, since the first quarter, if you look at the May numbers, for example, in terms of investment growth, retail sales growth in China, those have slowed down quite significantly. So I think the deleveraging in China is hitting the real economy. The government is quite concerned about it. So they're trying to, you know, come up with measures like this that will take care of some of the weak links in the economy. The small and medium enterprises will get about $200 billion of that $700 billion loan you talked about, whereas the remaining $500 billion will go to ailing state-owned companies, which are another weak link in the economy. So this is very targeted. This policy move by China is very targeted. And it comes, I think what's interesting is they are implementing these measures on July 5th, one day before both China and the U.S. implement tariffs. So I think they are concerned about, you know, the trade spat weighing on the economy. And so they are unleashing measures like this, preemptive measures, to provide some degree of cushion. But like I said throughout, you know, this show, that if there is a full-scale trade war between China and the U.S. or, you know, the U.S. and Europe, it will hurt the Chinese economy, more so probably than the U.S. economy. And, you know, I think all these measures can do is really provide some degree of cushion. I don't think China is going to fall off the cliff, but these measures are preemptive by the Chinese government to provide some degree of cushion, and which I think is in some ways positive for China and positive for the rest of Asia, which is leveraged onto China.
Vasu, in the short time that we have left, very quickly, does anybody want a trade war, especially the White House?
I think this is politics, you know, Sharat. I mean, the bottom line is Trump is playing politics. We've got the midterm elections coming up in November. Trump is being investigated by Robert Mueller, you know, for his involvement with Russia and so on and so forth. So I think this is politics. He's, you know, basically trying to create some degree of diversion, win votes, you know, from the U.S. populace. I think, in all honesty, the true blue economists within the Trump administration know that a trade war like this would actually be very negative for the U.S. Hurt the U.S. economy, hurt the rest of the world. But, you know, that's something that will play out in the longer term. In the next 6 months, you know, Trump will look like a savior for many of his electorate. And I think that's what he's hoping to do. I think nobody wants a trade war, but this is politics. This is about winning votes, and it's exactly what Trump is going to do. So it's hard to see him back down in a big, big way, unless China backs down. And I don't see that happening as well. So there's a risk of heightened trade tension, and perhaps even an escalation, which is what I'm concerned about, which could weigh on the market.
Thank you so much, Vasu. That was Vasu Menon, Vice President, Senior Investment Strategist at OCBC Bank in Singapore. We'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.